can make you do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
We'll just call this a football Monday, not necessarily a therapy Monday, even though therapy, I guess, is needed with this football team's uncanny ability to blow fourth quarter leads. This is 3 weeks in a row that we've seen the Browns figure out how to lose a game in the fourth quarter. That part is way too getting old. And overall, I think the good news, and you and I said it before we got on the air, that top five picks shaping up nicely.
They're right in there, right? Oh, number five for the Cleveland Browns, and it is troubling, and it's something that we're going to get into. What is causing this pattern? And I don't know that we're going to be able to identify any one thing, Vic, but it certainly is a trend. This is the third straight week in a row that the team has had a lead in the fourth quarter, and they have failed to win the game. The Browns now have lost five in a row. It seems like forever ago they were 4-5. We were talking about, you know, the biggest game in years for the Cleveland Browns. And now here they are at 4-10. And, you know, the crazy thing is if you hold three fourth quarter leads in a row, we're talking about a 7-7 team.
Yeah, and why is this happening? And there's no simple or single answer to this. I don't buy necessarily it's a lack of maturity, because younger players are not younger players anymore. At this stage of the season, they are older players. They are old enough to know how to handle this. But do they have that closeout mentality? And the answer is clearly no. Is there enough talent on this team to close out games? And I think it can be argued that they still need significant help overall. And if you've got more playmakers than not, those playmakers that you have will make those plays to allow you to close out a game. And I think at some point, the normal reliables, when they don't deliver for you, somebody else has to. And I think there could be something lacking there. And yet another thing is the coaching, is just learning how to get this team over the hump from a coaching standpoint. I know this has been preached by Rob Chudzinski and his staff for weeks now. I know they spent, especially after the New England game, time focusing on this idea of finishing and closing off games and doing what's necessary to do that. Is the message not being heard? Is it being delivered forcefully enough? I mean, these are the things we don't know for sure, but these are the questions that get asked. And I'm sure it's going to be something that Rob Chudzinski can focus on during the offseason agenda. So that's yet another thing on the list of why this is happening. But it's a troubling, maddening pattern, because being just good enough to say you're competitive with divisional contenders, divisional leaders, that there's no solace in that anymore, Nathan. I just assume if they lost these games by blowouts, you know, you could easily just say, okay, they're losing.
They're just not good.
They're just not good. But
they are kind of good.
The fact that they're kind of good and not winning, I think, makes it even harder to accept.
There's no question. And obviously, when Joe Hayden went out of this game, as I was watching it, I was saying, okay, now we have problems, because Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, I think, are going to be able to have their way. And you see, you know, Alshon Jeffrey pulling the 45-yard touchdown when the ball was seemingly up in the air forever and ever, floating, hanging, waiting, and somehow he goes and catches it like a punt almost for the touchdown. But I think you make a couple of good points. Number one, you need to get more involvement from you know, the rest of the team other than Josh Gordon. Jordan Cameron disappeared again, 3 catches for 23 yards. Devon Bess, 1 for 9. I will say, and we'll talk about the positives as we go on, but
sure.
Edwin Baker was a nice little surprise. I enjoyed the Edwin Baker experience.
It was wonderful. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
The kid just showed that explosiveness, that speed. He was everything that we wanted to see from Deion Lewis. He gave us a little bit of a Deion Lewis presence, and an interesting guy who had a couple of days to practice for the game and get ready for it. And yeah, he's got the North Turner background, having been drafted by him, but really give a lot of credit to the Browns coaching staff to get this kid ready on short notice.
Yeah, and he comes in and he does something that we haven't seen a Browns running back do in forever. He had 84 total yards on only 12 touches. That's phenomenal. He scored a touchdown. That was very good. I thought Edwin Baker was one of the pleasant surprises here. And for a team that is going to be looking for running back depth and obviously for somebody to carry the ball, as North Turner walks by, the man who actually still had a hand in Edwin Baker being here, I'm sure it was good to see that kind of excitement and dynamic performance from a running back from the Cleveland Browns. So that thing was very, very good. But, you know, ultimately, this is a team, and I'm not as worried as other people are. I've actually talked to a lot of people who said, well, I just don't know that they're ever going to know how to win. Carolina did not know how to win. The Carolina Panthers were a football team that did not know how to win games. They lost close games more often than anybody in the NFL over the last 2 years. They started this season 1-3. Then they won. It became infectious. They reeled off 8 in a row and now 9 of their last 10. When it happens, it will happen. I fully believe that it will happen, that this team will figure out a way to win. I just want to see them do it, preferably week one of next year. Now that we're at this point, I would have liked to see them win at home. It would have been nice. But now, I mean,
yeah, I know where you're going, and I'm with you.
Most of the guys that are here, I think not most, but a significant portion of the guys that are on this team are not going to be here to need to know how to win for the Cleveland Browns next year.
Right. I'm 1,000% with that. I too feel less sort of invested in any real way emotionally about these last two games versus what I hoped to see yesterday. And I guess I'm at a point where you are, that more of my thoughts are directed toward 2014 and beyond, plain and simple. But we still have 2013 to talk about.
Sure.
And these two games to talk about. But I agree, Nathan, that learning they're not knowing how to win and finish is not a permanent condition. It is
Agreed.
Not something that can't be solved. It can be solved. I think this is a good enough coaching staff, and this is where we might get some arguments. I think it's a good enough coaching staff to teach these players how to do it. Now, the fact that they haven't taught them up to this point doesn't say much for that credibility, but I think they're capable once they get the right people here, because I do think there's also a matter of flushing out some more people who just aren't going to be part of this team going forward. There are going to be other players indoctrinated to this scheme, to this system, and to this understanding, this way of thinking of the coaching staff. And I think that's what's to come. And I think there is some lingering sense, frankly, about some players who have been part of this losing habit and this inability to figure out how to close games. And unfortunately, I think some of that sticks with them.
I think some of that does stick with them. Obviously, it is, you know, it's happened. But I'll tell you what, you talked about the coaching. I think Norv Turner has done a phenomenal job given what he is working with here with the Cleveland Browns this year. And obviously having Josh Gordon helps, because he is, if not the most dominant receiver in the league right now, he is one of the top two. He is very, very good. Now, when you look at the defense, I'm starting to have a little bit of a wonder in my mind if there's something to this scheme that can be figured out at some point, because we're seeing week after week pretty darn good first half defensive performances and then a significant deterioration of the effectiveness when teams are going. And it's interesting, when teams go to a more pass oriented style at the ends of games, we can't handle that. Mm-hmm. And for a team that's supposed to be built on its pass rush, that's supposed to be the time when you thrive, when you know what a defense, what an offense is going to do. And then yesterday, to me, I don't know if it was just, I don't know what set in at the end, but the way they ran the ball at the end of the game was, I did not enjoy watching.
No. And back to your point about the defense, I think by design, it is vulnerable to those kinds of plays because of the risk factor. When you're selling out to try to get pressure, and when you're scheming pressure, you're absolutely leaving some gaping holes defensively that can be exploited and have been exploited. And that is a problem. Now, some of that also speaks to personnel. Some of that speaks to your depth, because in those circumstances, you are putting more coverage people on the field and we saw it yesterday. You take now the extreme. Joe Haden gets hurt, take him out of the lineup, and that hadn't happened in it hadn't happened since last year when he suffered an injury that kept him out of the
game. And we know what the numbers were when he was out last year.
When he was out and Tony Romo just went to town and he leaves that game and Jay Cutler was salivating. He knows I can definitely take advantage of whoever is next in there, and Leon McFadden has to jump in there, and it became more of a problem for this football team because it didn't have when you're putting key people over on the and with that team, who is the number one? I mean, they're both great. Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey were going to devour whoever else was going to come into that secondary, and that's exactly what they did. Now, by the way, before we go any further talking about the coaching staff, we've got to congratulate the head coach.
Yes.
Rob Chudzinski, his wife, Sheila, gave birth to their third son, their fourth child. So big family, the Chuds, and congratulations to them. And I understand mom, baby doing fine. But they had a boy this morning. And that, by the way, ties into a little programming note. Chud, usually on this show on Mondays, he is not going to be with us today because he's tending to his family. He's going to do his
– yeah,
and congrats.
Great.
Very happy for the Chudzinski family. And he is going to do, I know, a conference call with the media about 4 o'clock. So he'll have some conversation about what took place yesterday, follow-up with the media, with the general media, about 4 p.m. Today. And then we'll get him on the show tomorrow, I think. That's our goal, is to have him make his weekly appearance with us, but it'll be a day later. Also, we're going to have the roundtable in about 20 minutes or so, about 1:30. We will have Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, Tom Withers from the Associated Press join us for the roundtable. So we'll be doing that, and that, of course, brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. And we want you to be sure you're listening to that. We'll get their assessment on what took place and what's going on going forward. Gerard Cherry will join us at around 2:40 p.m. The other thing that was interesting, you mentioned about the defense. Ray Horton, as you might recall, surprised some people during the midseason when he said his MVP for the half year was Tashawn Gibson.
Yep.
I think Ray knew what he was talking about.
He clearly did, and we talked about Tashawn Gibson, you know, coming into the season. We were worried about the safety position. That was something you weren't sure, because you knew if T.J. Ward was healthy, he would be good, but it was that other piece in the secondary, the other safety, that they were worried about. And for an undrafted free agent to have progressed the way Tashawn Gibson has, I think is remarkable. He had 2 interceptions yesterday. One of them he returned for a touchdown in the second quarter. And this is a game where the defense actually had the takeaways. 3 takeaways for this defense. 2 of them, they returned for touchdowns, and yet the Browns still could not find a way to win.
And what did we say about Jay Cutler?
He would give you opportunities.
Right? He was going to give him opportunities, and he did.
And
he delivered.
He did.
As promised.
To his credit, he settled down.
Yeah.
And was pretty darn good.
Touchdown. Yeah, he got 3 touchdown passes to offset the 2 picks that he threw early. But early on, if you're Mark Trestman, you got to be saying, oh, boy. Maybe I messed this thing up, because Trestman, that was a bold decision. This game was monitored nationally primarily because of the QB change.
Sure.
Because there was such a collective national opinion that this was a mistake, getting away from the hot hand of Josh McCown.
The interesting thing, though, the hot hand of Josh McCown relates to statistics. When you look at the wins and losses, Jay Cutler has been the winning quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and Josh McCown has been the statistic quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
People love those stats, though, I've heard.
Stats are good. I enjoy stats as well. But, you know, Jay Cutler did what he needed to do and led that team to 21 offensive points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with this defense. 21 points in the fourth quarter. Last week, it was, you know, 14 points in the final 2 minutes of that game. Basically the final minute of that game.
By the way, call us 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, Growls from the Pound, and we want to hear from you on Twitter at Browns_daily. Megan Rockin here. She's going to be tweeting throughout the show, and we'll get your tweets and we'll respond to them as well, but definitely weigh in with your thoughts. I think this is what the last 2 weeks have shown me. I think the Browns were better at most positions against the Patriots last week, except for one notable position, and that was, of course, quarterback.
Well, I mean, Campbell played pretty much a flawless game in that credit.
That's what I'm saying here. I'm putting team to team here. I'm doing my comparisons. Mm-hmm. Now that we've seen what these last 2 weeks have presented, I think, and by the way, if we have to back it up to the third week to Jacksonville, I believe the Browns by far a better football team that had to play a horrendous game and or do some horrendous things to lose it, and they did. Chicago, closer competition. I think Chicago's a better team than New England, and I think the Browns weren't that far off from positions. It's not the Bears are the better club, but the Browns closed that gap to me was a little tighter. In fact, tighter than it would have been the previous week, even though that game came down literally to crazy final seconds.
Well, that's the thing about this team. You go back and you look at the losses of the Cleveland Browns, and there have been now 10 of them, 5 in a row. And what game did you come out of that the Browns lost this season thinking, man, they had no chance in that game? I would say 2. Green Bay and Detroit. And even Detroit, though, if you don't get that rough in the passer penalty at the end of the game, they might have to punt the ball instead of getting a touchdown, and you're in a one-possession game situation. But those would be really the only two. They were right in it with Kansas City. They were up, even though when you look at the score against Cincinnati, that was 41-20. They were in that game. This is a team that has been good enough to be close and not good enough to win in the majority of games. The first two games, they were ahead against Miami and Baltimore. Both of those games, they were ahead at halftime. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Then you win the 3 games in a row. I'm pretty sure they were ahead of the Detroit Lions at halftime, if I'm not mistaken. Was it the first 6 games that they had the lead at half?
Yes. Yes, that was the stat. It was a crazy stat that they were leading.
Yeah, they were up 17-7 at the half against them. So this is a team that has been ahead going into the second half in many, many games this year, going into the fourth quarter in many games this year, and still they sit here at 4-10. And when I look at a team like Chicago, the difference that jumps out to me is Chicago has 3 guys on offense, and I'm not even going to count the quarterback, but I'm saying 3 guys at the skill position that they can count on in any moment to make a big play and have a very reasonable expectation that they will. They can throw the ball at any moment to Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall, or they can turn around, hand the ball off, or throw the ball to Matt Forte. By the way, Martellus Bennett caught all 6 of his targets as well and had a solid game. The Browns have Josh Gordon right now, and that is it.
That's it.
That's it. And when you get down, I think, to the nitty-gritty, you need to be able to have multiple guys that you can reasonably count on to deliver for you in meaningful situations.
That's the biggest hole in this football team, is that when you can only name one playmaker, and other teams, and they don't necessarily have to be Josh Gordon-esque in their quality, but when you can have an unbelievable situation like Chicago does with Marshall Jeffrey, and that would be the ideal. But if you had something close to that with your second guy, you're making progress. Browns do not have something close to that. And essentially what you need are 2 top receivers and that, as you put it, that Martellus Bennett or that tight end that you can count on consistently to be effective. And that isn't happening, unfortunately, with this football team at all.
Cameron has not been, and he was great, brilliant. He was brilliant at the beginning of the season. 2 weeks ago against New England, last week he was great. But that's pretty much it. That's been it for him in the second half of the season. He scored against Green Bay on a garbage touchdown. He had the 80-yard game against Kansas City in Week 8. But since then, really the only game that he showed up for, statistically speaking, and in a meaningful, impactful way, was New England. And I think that's a problem. They don't have a running back. And maybe Edwin Baker can give a little spark. We're going to see. He's going to have 2 tough tests against the Jets. You know, he did it looking decent against the Bears. By the way, they didn't get to 100 yards rushing against Chicago Bears.
And we said, I think my number was in the 90s. So
I think yours was 93, and I was a little over 100. I'm pretty sure
I was dead on.
I'm going to say I want to say you were right on the money.
I think I was. I'm looking at the stat sheet. I was.
Dead. Yes, you were.
But that's okay. Not trying to toot my horn, but.
And 30 of those, by the way, but hold on a second. We were talking about running backs.
Those weren't running
30 of them were from Marquise Gray, and 17 were from Campbell. So 47 of the 94 yards, more than half, came from people who were playing quarterback.
Non-running backs, yes. I'll still take credit.
That's good. Still good.
216-578-0850. We're just getting this thing started. We want to hear from you, and definitely we will do that throughout the show. It is Vic Carucci. It is Nathan Zagura, a.k.a. Nate Dogg. And just getting updates on people who are going to come up and join us, the roundtable. So maybe it'll be somewhere a little closer to 1:45-ish, but we'll get you with that group to get more opinions. But we want to hear from you, and I know some people are dialing us up already, so we'll get to you. All right, a Football Monday. ESPN 850 WQNR.